Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, the victory of Hiranyaksha. And we're going to read verse 25, which has a purport. Normally we only focus on a verse if it has a purport, but there are two verses before without purports, which I'll read just now myself, right now. And then we'll go on to 25 together. Savai tirohitan drishtva mahasasvena daityarat sendran deva ganan kshiban apashyan vyanadad brisham. On not finding Indra and the other demigods who had previously been intoxicated with power, the chief of the daityas, seeing that they had all vanished before his might, roared loudly. Tato nivritta kridishyan gambiram bhima nisvanam vijagahe mahasattva vardimata ivadvipa. After returning from the heavenly kingdom, the mighty demon, who was like an elephant in wrath, for the sake of sport, dived into the deep ocean, which was roaring terribly. So, now verse 25. Tasmen
praveshte
varanasya sainika yado gana sanna diya sasadvasa ahanyamana api tasya varchasa pradarshita duratara pradudravo tasmin pravishte varunasya sainika yadogana sana diyasa sadvasa ahanyamana apitasya varchasa pradarshita durataram pradudravo tasmin pravishte varunasya sainika yado ganasana diyasa sadvasa ahanyamana apitasya varchasa pradarshita durataram pradudravo tasmin pravishte varunasya sainika yado ganasana diyasa sadvasa ahanyamana apitasya varchasa pradarshita durataram pradudravo
tasmin praviste varunasya sainika yado ganasannadiya sasadvasa अहन्यमानापि तस्य वर्चसा
अहन्यमानापि तस्य
वर्चसा तदक्षिता दूरतरं वदुध्रुवः
तस्मिन् प्रविष्टा वरुणस्य
सैनिका
अहन्यमानापि
तस्य वर्चसा
तस्मिन् प्रविष्टे वरुणस्य सैनिका यतो घनासनदीय सद्वशः अहन्यमान अपि तस्य वचसा प्रदाशित दुराचरं प्रदुर्भुः
Mataji is
Tasmin Pravishte Varu Rashya Sainika
अहन्यमाना
अपि तस्य
वाचसा
तस्मिन् प्रविष्टे वरुणस्य सैनिका यतो घनासनादिय
प्रदर्शिते
दुरुतं प्रदुद्रुवो
Tasmin Pravishte.
Tasmin Pravishte.
When he entered the ocean.
When he entered the ocean.
Varunasya.
Varunasya.
Of Varuna.
Of Varuna.
Sainika.
Sainika.
The defenders.
The defenders.
Yadagana.
Yadagana.
The aquatic animals. Sanadiya.
Sanadiya.
Depressed.
Depressed.
Sasadvasa.
Sasadvasa.
With fear.
With fear.
Ahanyamana.
Ahanyamana.
Not being hit.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Tasya,
Tasya,
his,
Varchasa,
by splendor,
Padarshita,
stricken,
stricken.
Durataram,
far away,
Pradudravo, they ran fast. Translation. On his entering the ocean, the aquatic animals who formed the host of Varuna were stricken with fear and ran far away. Thus, Hiranyaksha showed his splendor without dealing a blow. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Materialistic demons sometimes appear to be very powerful and are seen to establish their supremacy throughout the world. Here also it appears that Hiranyaksha, by his demoniac strength, actually established his supremacy throughout the universe, and the demigods were afraid of his uncommon power. Not only were the demigods in space afraid of the demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, but so also were the aquatic animals within the sea. Tasmin pravishte varunasi sainika yadogana sanadiyasa sadvasa Ahanyamana abhitasya varchasa pradarshita durataram pradudruvo. On his entering the ocean, the aquatic animals who formed the host of Varuna were stricken with fear and ran far away. Thus, Hiranyaksha showed his splendor without dealing a blow. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prista Utale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadish Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Manchkapataribhyastakrita Sindhu Vyavacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, yes, continuing the description of Hiranyaksha and how things developed with him, it's very much all these verses, and particularly this verse 25, which has the purport, are really just continuing and slightly elaborating on what was stated the other day. Was it Saturday? Sunday? Saturday. Saturday. Okay. Yes, when we read the verse before, a couple of verses before, which we're talking about his pride. And how he wanted to show off, which is natural for someone who is proud. If you're proud and you can't show off, what can you do? You know, that's depressing. You'll develop depression because pride means you have to show it off. Otherwise, it just sort of percolates within. If there's no chance to display it, it percolates within and goes sour in the form of some type of frustration. So he was very proud and he loved showing it off. What was it? The other verse said, oh, he had a temper. He had a temper. Everyone's got some sort of temper. But he really had an uncontrollable temper, which just added to the whole, the intensity of his internal condition and how it manifested externally. So, well, this is the material world, of course. And of course now it's Kali Yuga, which just compounds all the negativity. But at this time, it was not Kali Yuga. It was Satya Yuga. And in general, the conditions were much different and much better than they are now. But because it's the material world, even when it's Satya Yuga, then some serious problem will inevitably crop up for some time. At much of the time, it may be, relatively speaking, very nice. For example, in the Satya Yuga, they generally don't have Varnashram, meaning all the different stages and levels. They don't have at all, where people are divided up in terms of their natures, material natures. But generally in the Satya Yuga, there's only one Varna or Ashram, that is the Paramahansa stage. Everyone is just, Paramahansa means beyond. beyond all the usual stages, beyond and better than all the other stages, but then gradually things go down, and gradually, at least by the time Treta Yuga comes, there's a necessity for Varnashrama, and not only a necessity, but it's just there, because people are just different from each other, and birds of a feather flock together. So people with certain natures, they just gravitate towards it. I mean, people with the same natures, they just gravitate towards each other, and it's very hard to stop them. It's very hard to stop them. You know, in an English-speaking environment, you might not have had the experience, but if there's a few Russians around, you'll see they're together. And they're speaking Russian together, even if they can speak English. So it's just nature, human nature. Well, it's just nature, the nature of the living being, the conditioned living being. And, you know, and literally birds of a feather flock together. You generally don't see the sparrows spending time at you know, having social interactions with the, you know, the others, whoever they are, the crows or the seagulls, and vice versa. Even on that level, and yes, so at least basically, it's like that. So, but because it's the material world, even though it's not Kali Yuga, it's not Dwapara Yuga, it's not even Treta Yuga, where things have noticeably deteriorated, it's such Yuga where things are actually, by material standards, extremely nice. But from time to time, along comes some serious problem, very serious problem in this case, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Just very terrible demons causing great, great disruption. In Goloka Vrindavan or even Vaikuntha, you don't get that. If anyone starts showing some tendencies in that sort of direction, before you know it and before they know it, they wake up the next morning, maybe in Chatsworth or Phoenix or Kwamashu or, you know what I mean, maybe just Westville. These are places designed, don't mind us saying it, but designed for demons. Really, it's pretty much like that. Or if not like outright demons, just horrible, horrible people, but people who've got such tendencies and attractions and so on. Particularly and ultimately the main point being to enjoy independently. To enjoy independently. That independent enjoying spirit, and along with it the propensity to become envious of competitors, even envious of people who are not competitors but who are better situated materially. Just a general tendency to become envious, even of other species, to not allow other species to just live their lives, but rather to interfere and disrupt the lives of even other species. So, So that's there, that's material life. And of course it's very prominent now. It's practically universally prominent. We were doing book distribution many years ago in the late 1980s in Yeovil, Johannesburg, distributing books in the streets there, and there was a group from the SPCA. Do you call it that? Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And they were doing fundraising in the street. And we were sort of, you know, we were close to each other and every now and then just have a little chat. And then lunchtime came. And this one young man disappeared for a few minutes. And he came back and sat at the side of the road. And we noticed he was eating a hot dog. And so I went up to him and I asked him, "Sir, is that a veggie dog?" Or whatever you'd call it. And he just said, no, it's a hot dog. I just bought it at the takeaway place across the road. And I said, "Oh, but you mean this is the flesh of some animal?" "Yes, but you're trying to prevent cruelty to animals." And he was a little taken aback. And he said, "Well, mainly the dogs and cats, the ones in the homes." Yeah. So, what can you say? It's just, he hadn't even thought about it. He hadn't even thought about it. So, the people in this material world, their natures, their tendencies, their characters, they're just infiltrated, deeply infiltrated by all sorts of negativity, the root of which is enviousness of Krishna, the tendency not to want to serve Krishna, which is all connected with envy. It's like that. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, when we talk about developing better qualities or people becoming better people, the first component of the program for self-improvement, it really has to be becoming a devotee and taking up the process of devotional service, and in that way directly addressing the tendency to be envious of the Lord and like that, to want to compete with the Lord. That's the first thing. Of course, we also, when some bad tendency crops up in the mind, despite the fact that we're practicing Krishna consciousness, we may have to address it directly. But the foundational point which makes the self-improvement really possible on a deeper level and on a very real level and lasting level is the fact that we are addressing our tendency to be envious of Krishna by engaging in the process of devotional service. We're not just attending some sort of classes about how to deal with anger. You know, you can pay people money to get an anger management training course. Yeah. Yes. and similar types of things. But unless the root of the problem is addressed, the tendency to get angry, what does it generally mean? Well, you know what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Jayato Vishayam Pumsa Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodho Vijayate, that while contemplating the objects of the senses, sort of checking things out for possibilities, for enjoyment, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment to them. One decides what one wants to enjoy. And then from that attachment, lust develops, means one actually tries to enjoy the selected object. But then, as Lord Krishna says, maybe we mentioned it a few times before, it's a nice point. Krishna then says, from lust, that actual engagement in lusty activities, what comes as a result? Tell me. Happiness. Satisfaction. Right. Am I right? Am I right? I am. What? Are you trying to contradict me? I might get angry. Kamat krodo bijayate. From lust, that actual engagement in lusty sense gratificatory activity, the result is krodha, anger. Yes, because that lusty, those desires which have been fueling the whole process, they can't be satisfied by what to speak of just thinking about it, even doing it, whatever it is, some sort of activity of materialistic enjoyment. Yeah. They can't give the pleasure which one is looking for, which one is hoping for and specifically striving to achieve, but one ends up disappointed. I did, you know, I really thought I was going to get enjoyment from XYZ, therefore I really got into it and I really engaged in it, and the result I got was just, well, you know what they say, the booby prize. You understand what a booby prize is? You enter a competition, everyone gets a prize, or maybe not everyone. But, you know, you win a prize, and they give you this little box or little something, and you open it up, and what's your prize? One of these whistles. You know, you blow it, and it rolls out. Congratulations, you won a prize. And it's like, what sort of prize is this? Yes, so, material life is just so many opportunities for frustration. So many opportunities to try to get happiness, but ultimately so many opportunities to experience frustration. Aha. Anyway, that's sort of the principles involved. So, yes, so the way of addressing, which has to be there, is we have to engage in Krishna's service, because what has caused us to be in this world and caught up in the whole network is that we decided to compete with Krishna, or to do better and to reject Krishna and enjoy independently from Krishna. And who needs Krishna and even actually we dislike Krishna. We don't want to hear about him, and if we do, we get disturbed. Yes. So therefore, if one wants to develop good qualities, first of all, one has to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it won't really work. And I've mentioned many times when I was young, I read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And he has a formula, a program for overcoming inferiority complex, the tendency to just not be able to come forward and just see yourself as less than others, and therefore you can't deal with people and situations, and you sort of become frightened of the social environment. So his program, we've mentioned many times, I'm sure you can all remember, his sadhana. He also has sadhana. You sit in front of a mirror and you look at your image in the mirror and you say to yourself, so to speak, you say, you're great. You're wonderful. Oh, you have so many good qualities. You're just one of the best people. And you do that for 20 minutes. At least once a day, maybe twice. I forget if it was once or twice, but it's at least once. And it's for 20 minutes. In other words, you try to program your thinking processes. But the problem is, well, of course, there are many problems. But one of the problems is, you are probably not so great. You're probably a fairly useless person, actually, or just some, you know, ultra-ordinary person, something like that. And, you know, the envious state of mind of people in the material world means that sooner or later, probably sooner, you'll meet someone who has, you know, who is stronger than you, mentally and emotionally, and who doesn't appreciate you and is happy to let you know it. In which case, you know, all your I'm great and I'm wonderful and people like me, all of a sudden it just goes down in flames. And then you're back again in your world of self-doubt. So now, Hiranyaksha, of course, he was a classic case of someone who's just completely or too much overwhelmed with pride and anger and the desire to show off based on pride. I was reading a while ago, actually, Srila Prabhupada was talking about materialistic householders, not the devotee householders, because they are just very different. Materialistic householders, they, you know, there's this idea of competing with the neighbors and, you know, trying to have a respectable position so that people will take you seriously. So therefore people, materialistic householders, they try to decorate their house very nicely so it looks at least as good as, but it would be better if it was better than the neighbors and other people. So they do that. And they have, you know, all nice interior decoration, nice curtains. You know, maybe something like this even. Although this is for, you know, a proper sort of setting for Srila Prabhupada. But they get all these types of things, expensive things, which they don't really need. You know, you don't really need for yourself to have exotic, you know, set up like this for curtains. But Prabhupada makes the point. The idea is to show these things off when people come. And Prabhupada says, what is the point of having all these nice things if you can't show them off? You might as well just go to, I don't know, some cheap shop and just get something to block the windows. Yes, so pride. And Hiranyaksha, he's suffering so badly from pride. But as Prabhupada mentions here, that the materialistic demons, sometimes under certain circumstances, they become successful in their demoniac program. Even there's the description of Hiranyakashipu, that Narada Muni felt, well, Narada Muni ended up, he would visit Hiranyakashipu from time to time, and he would glorify him. I mean, there's all different reasons for that. But one reason was he felt pressure that he needed to do that in order to be able to carry on with his mission. So even someone like Narada Muni was telling Hiranyakashipu that he was a great person. That sort of thing. So it happens like that. Sometimes some very materialistic but very powerful materialistic person becomes successful. And in the sort of political sense of taking over a country or even a planet, or in the case of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, even the whole universe or the vast majority of the universe, except for the planets of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. And then they rule for a while, and they exploit and enjoy for a while. Now you can, if you want to see examples and just see how bizarre it gets, you could just check a little bit of fairly modern history. What happened in Cambodia? Khmer Rouge took over Pol Pot. Pol Pot. And what they did to other people, because they felt, you know, we are powerful, we are right. It's shocking. It's just shocking. I mean, don't mind me saying it, it's much worse than the National Party, you know, back in those days. It's just so much worse. It's just another dimension altogether. Reducing the population, the whole population of the whole country by about a third or a half or something like that is just unbelievable. Or the communists in Russia. I read some time ago about the Italian dictator during the Second World War called Mussolini. You might have heard of him. He was a very sort of proud and arrogant person, and he had a way of carrying himself in public. You know? Like, I'm very noble and, you know, high class and powerful. And so they gave him the nickname of Il Duke, which means, I think, the Duke. You know, a traditional old title of nobility. And he really liked that. And he was really, you know, doing his level best to be like that. And it worked for a while. For a while it worked very well. But after a while, and it happens to all of them, we mentioned the other day, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, what happened to him? He was openly declaring, I am the greatest. Who can do that? But then after a few years, not only was he not the greatest, he was just a helpless, hopeless person who just eventually just couldn't manage his own life at all. And he needed to be taken care of, otherwise he would have just perished. But Mussolini, you know, he's this big, powerful person, very proud of it, and having people like opponents slaughtered left and right. But then things, the tide turned, or we could say the karma changed. The bad karma kicked in with a real boot. And yeah, and he lost control of Italy and the what they call the Allies, the British and Americans, and their friends took over, and he had to run for it. And he tried to disguise himself. He was being they were trying to drive him to some other place. But you know, they recognized him, and they dragged him out of the car, and that was, as we say in Russian, до свидания, goodbye. That was the end of Mussolini and his wife too. Reduced from, you know, this really like directly a competitor with God to just a helpless state and killed by his opponents. So this is going on in the material world. And generally speaking, well, they say pride comes before a fall. And it often happens that the more proud a person is and the more arrogant, then the worse when they lose control and things start going against them, the worse becomes their position. Yeah. And just becomes hopeless. There was in Liberia some leader who was extremely abusive, and it's killing people, it's just terrible. And then his opponent took over, and I don't know if I should even mention it, but they sort of dissected his body while he was living. Yeah, cut off, you know, first of all his ears, then his nose, then his fingers, and his toes, and then his hands, and his feet, and then his arms, and his legs. Hare Krishna, excuse me. And they videoed it. They did this whole video presentation and then distributed it. Excuse me. It is the material world. We do need to understand the reality. So, but anyway, at least for the time being, Hiranyaksha was so powerful and so successful that, first of all, he went and challenged the demigods, and they didn't even bother taking up the challenge and trying to oppose him and seeing if they could defeat him. They just ran. Which means, you know, the demigods, they're sort of questionable in many ways. But then he went to attack Varuna, because Varuna had been very successful in battle before. So he went to Varuna in the ocean. And Varuna's guard, they're his sainika, his defenders. They are fish, aquatic animals, who formed the host of Varuna. They just ran away also. Yes. just, you know, this is slightly subtle, but have you ever heard of the Lone Ranger? You heard of him? Have you heard of the Lone Ranger? You were not reading boys' comics, were you? The Lone Ranger is, you know, in the American colonial days, or whatever you'd call them, he was a law keeper, and he'd go around and arrest the lawbreakers, and he had an Indian, not Gujarati, or Bihari, or even, or Tamil, or Telugu, or even Bengali, or, you know, Nepali, but indigenous, American, local, as his friend, whose name was Tonto. And so they were a team. But one day, they were attacked, the two of them were attacked by a big band of other indigenous warriors. And, you know, this big band of the others was sort of surrounding them, and it looked like the end. And this is the subtle part. You know, Tonto, he's one of them. So the Lone Ranger says to Tonto, he says, "Looks like we're in trouble, Tonto." Tonto says, "What do you mean, we?" Such is life in the material world. Right. So, yeah. So when, for these people, materialistic demons, as Prabhupada says, sometimes appear to be very powerful and are seen to establish their supremacy throughout the world, or at least some area, some part of the world, something like that. But then the point is, and this is what happened here with Hiranyaksha, is that in due course, they lose it all. Hiranyaksha, at least he fought to the end. Yeah. But so many of them, like we mentioned Mussolini, and there are many others, you know, they try to exploit and enjoy and abuse and be the big controllers and very aggressive. But then the karma changes. And in so many cases, they become just very weak and, you know, very pathetic. And even though they may have personally killed many people, but they are now begging for their lives. And, you know, "Please don't kill me. I'll be nice," or something. They get reduced from the big so-called powerful person to some very wretched, pathetic condition. Yeah. And if it doesn't happen by the end of this life, by the time they reach the next life, when they really start getting the bad karma. Because generally, the karma which you accrue in this life, Prabhupada discusses this, the great majority you get in your very next life. The very next life. Not all. Some you get in the actual life, where you are accruing the karma. And some it may take some lifetimes to get. But otherwise, the general principle is, the great majority of the karma from your previous life, you get in your next life. The great, at least 90% generally. So if you've lived like some of these horrible dictators and people like that, oh, in the next life, oh, it's going to be such a sad situation. But you won't be able to escape. Therefore, devotees, Therefore, we should try our best to practice Krishna consciousness so that we don't have to take another birth. Because already in our lives we've probably done a few things we shouldn't have done. Yeah. That's one thing. And even though we're practicing Krishna consciousness, if we don't come to the point of Krishna feeling merciful enough to take us back to Godhead through appreciating our as sincere as possible efforts, if we have to take birth again, well, you may like to say, well, I'm a devotee, so I'll be born in a devotee family, life will be fine, and I'll just carry on. But you never know. You never know. Srila Prabhupada, such a great, great, greatest devotee of the modern age, of our time. Four was it, children? Or five? Four or five. Only one was a devotee. And he wasn't even really, you know, like, he certainly wasn't a practicing devotee at all. He was just a nice, like a friend of ISKCON. It was the youngest. But one of them became a demon. Oh, a real demon. Although brought up in the family of Prabhupada. And for so many years, at least 20 years or more, association with Prabhupada. Advaita Acharya had six sons. Three became great devotees. Three became Mayavadis. We mentioned, anyway, somewhere, sometime, how Krishna was in Pietermaritzburg. Krishna killed Narakasura on the Diwali day. Narakasura, big demon. Narak means hell, Asura means demon. So his name Narakasura means demon from hell. How'd you like that for a name? Demon from hell, nice to meet you. So Narakasura, but Narakasura was the son of Lord Varaha and Bhumi. You can't really have better parents. Bhumi is expanded from Satyabhama, who's expanded from Srimati Radharani. And Lord Varaha is Lord Varaha. And they had a son after their earth was saved, at the end, actually, of this pastime we're reading. And he was nice, of course he was nice. But then he got into the association of Banasura, who was very powerful and influential demon. And he became demonized. I mean, he changed through that association. So we should always be very careful, try and practice as nicely as we can. And have the best association we possibly can. And hopefully by the mercy of the Lord at the end of this life, back to Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki. Would you like to, any comment, question, not comment, just enlighten us, sort us out.
Even Satyayuga also, disparities in human behavior and modes of nature still working.
Right.
Though majorities are supposed to be, and they are, in the mode of goodness, but still other modes also working.
Yes, and it accumulates, and by the time Treta Yuga comes, it's already. It's not just Treta Yuga begins, everything goes, you know, 25% worse. There's a deterioration. Yes. So Satyayuga is not good enough. Sir Damodaprabhu.
I have a question. For a devotee who identifies that they are afflicted with pride, you know, they may have certain facilities or action and abilities, and they're like showing it off, or possessions, or whatever, but they sincerely want to deal with it. You know, they recognize that they want to deal with it.
Yes.
So what would be like the like a basic sadhana or practice that they should undertake to like really
okay.
eradicate that?
That's a good one. Well, I just offhand I can think of a few things which I think would be or could be at least very helpful. For example, to set aside some time every day, if possible, to render service to other devotees. And, you know, like in a very conscious way, trying to be very conscious of the value of serving the devotees, who are the devotees I'm serving, and really trying to cultivate an attitude of wanting to please the other devotee or devotees. You know, that's a nice thing. You know, this may sound a bit facetious, it is actually, but you could join the executive committee of the GBC body where, you know, it's sort of the highest position, so to speak, in Prabhupada's movement. But see the way you get treated. Not always, but definitely sometimes. It's amazing. And, you know, we are one, it's just an interesting little fact. We're one organization which, when our leaders come, we don't really sort of present them so much as leaders. I mean, we may present them. But since I have been now for the third time on the executive committee of the GBC body, I've not been presented once to a gathering as that. I have been presented as, oh, he's the GBC. As if the general people know, oh, GBC, yes. They don't know what's a GBC. Jayatirtha would say, great big crisis. Anyway, that was just facetiousness. But, you know, generally in other organizations, like, well, you know, like the protocols when we're introducing government people at Rath Yatra or some major program, you know, there's an order and there's certain niceties or whatever you've got to say, the way you've got to address them. We're very, we don't care about designations. But I think that's a very good one. You know, at, what was it at? At some GBC gathering a few years ago, we did a special program called Agyata Sakha, the unknown friend. Everybody was given a piece of paper with the name of another GBC member. And you had to render service to that other devotee unknowing, without them knowing it. Yes. And the idea was to develop more of a mood of service. Yeah. So I came to my room. This went on for like a week or so. I came to my room one day and found a 50 euro note. I came another time, I found a pizza. And I also, you know, had to do things like that. And it's nice. because we won't develop a mood of service to the devotees unless we practice serving the devotees. I mean, you know, gradually it'll come just through the effects of devotional service, but we also have to encourage it and help it by doing, proactively trying. There was another thing I was thinking of. Yes, to study, like on a regular, very regular basis, the narrations in Shastra which describe, on one hand, what happens if you get proud, and on the other hand, the glories of the humble devotees, to get inspiration. You know, on the negative side, the story of Ramachandra Puri. On the positive side, well, you know, Govinda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and various others. Chitraketu, when he was cursed. Yeah. These are some suggestions. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
That's all.